Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
You are listening to the Social Network Show with Jim Nico and Jane Kawaski. That would be me, a.k.a. Dr. J. And you can follow us on Twitter, by the way. Jim, our resident tweetaholic, is at Social Net Show. And be sure to visit our newly designed websites, thesocialnetworkstation.com and thesocialnetworkassociation.com. You are no doubt concerned, as we are, with the increasing reports of children and youth being harmed in numerous ways through being online. And you hear tons of advice for parents, teachers, school officials, social service providers of every stripe, how they can and must supervise and guide young people's online activity. Well, if you care for or work with youth, maybe you wonder, how can you possibly pedal any faster? How can you possibly do any more in the way of guidance and supervision of young people given the pressures of modern life? But have you noticed what's often missing in the list of stakeholders? Maybe you operate a social network site, and maybe you wonder, what can you do to make the web safer, and how can you do it? Today, you will all be hearing from our very special guest, Paul Walsh, founder of MetaCert, a technological tool to help you address online dangers. And we also have a ghost guest with us, an inaudible presence, you might say, Jeanette Christian of 2020 Captioning, the CEO of 2020captioning.com. She'll be doing a real-time transcript, which will be available for listeners whom we welcome from the deaf or hard of hearing community, and anyone else, of course, that would like to follow a transcript. Welcome, Paul, to the Social Network Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm sure that you all want to know about MetaCert and the Walshes. Paul is in business with his wife, Chital. But first, let's go right to the situation that they have felt called upon to address. So my first question for Paul is, what is the problem that you saw and are addressing through your company, MetaCert?
It's quite simple, actually. The problem we wish to solve is that there isn't one smartphone or one tablet that has any form of family safety to help protect children from harmful and inappropriate content, or to help adults who wish to avoid pornography to do so in an easy fashion. So family safety has always been a challenge, and has been ever since my days of AOL back in the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, family safety technologies haven't improved over the years, and it's only more obvious with tablets and smartphones in the hands of children, whereby they're not in front of their adults or their parents in the living room. They could be wandering around the school or the playground or their bedroom. And so it's more difficult for guardians to keep an eye on what their children are doing, because these devices have no filtering capability.
What do you feel is the biggest problem in trying to protect kids from the inappropriate content online?
I think the biggest problem is that it's quite easy to stumble upon it. For example, if you're hanging it on YouTube, you'll realize that very quickly on the right-hand side, you're suggested to look at videos that have got nothing to do with the content that you're looking at. And that's a good example as to what happens on the web. You could search for very generic terms, and all of a sudden be prompted with very mature, inappropriate content for children. And it's particularly a problem on Google Images and Google Video. But really the problem is not so much just the blocking side of things. It's actually making sure you don't block too much. For the companies that are in the space already, they block millions of websites that are innocent. and which may be related to adult themes but aren't actually sexually explicit in content. It could be educational or art material. So there's two problems that we see. There's blocking of inappropriate and harmful content for children and adults who wish to avoid it. And then a problem which is equally big is doing that in a respectful way that means we don't block access to innocent websites.
How is your technology different then in the sense of it being able to accomplish that?
Well, it's something we've been working on for quite some time, and we built a unique classification and labeling platform. And it's a technique in the background whereby it has a better capability of identifying what is in fact pornographic material and then how it identifies at a website. I can't really explain too much as to what the technique is, but suffice to say that this is the only problem we focused on for about 5 years, the area of content classification. And our method of labeling content is actually now the industry standard for labeling content, and it replaced an old system called PIX, which is what's still used by Microsoft Internet Explorer and Apple Parental Controls. So our technology is far more advanced, but if you think about it, McAfee, Norton, Kaspersky, all of these companies, they have maybe 20 or 30 different types of products for antivirus and so on. MetaCert has one area that it wants to solve, and that's helping to protect people from content that is either not suitable for them or for the people that they're responsible for. So we do one thing and we do it very well, and that's probably why we're a little bit better or a lot better than the companies that are out there currently.
Sounds like something that social networks could definitely use in responding to reports. How did the social networks complicate the goal of child safety online?
They complicated because of the fact that users of the web can create their own web pages, their own content, or in simple terms, their user-generated content. And so it's very difficult for these companies to actually quickly identify the pages that contain content that's against their policy. So those companies would be Facebook, Twitter, Dailymotion, or Three, Tumblr. They're the four biggest challenges on the web. And this brings me on to the point, or brings me back to the previous point as to what's different about our technology. We're the first company to be able to classify and block individual web pages or videos or images without blocking the entire website. So we have crawlers dedicated to each of the websites that I mentioned, and every day we're classifying many thousands of pages on websites like Facebook, because you would be absolutely amazed by the amount of not just explicit content, but actual hardcore pornography on Facebook and Twitter. The numbers are huge. And so we're tackling those very specific websites and treating them as if they're a completely different web from the World Wide Web that we know today.
Oh, that's fascinating. So MetaCert, of which you are the CEO, is dedicated to this one problem of suitable content. And you said something that struck me as especially important, that you do not classify an entire website as unsuitable, but the particular content piece by piece. Is that correct?
That's correct. We actually do both. So we have classified over 700 million pages that belong to pornographic websites. So that's about 7 million pages, 7 million websites. And to put those numbers into perspective, that's greater than Norton and McAfee and Kaspersky combined. So OpenDNS is a very respectable filtering DNS solution. With 50 categories, they have classified 1.6 million domains. For just one category, pornography, we have classified over 7 million domains. So that will give you the significance of the database. Then separate to those 7 million websites, or 700 million pages, we have a different data set, which includes all of images, videos, and pages on websites like Facebook, Twitter, Dailymotion, And in fact, we have over 1,000 websites whereby we classify individual elements within the website. So if your child is on Facebook and they're using one of our products, then the chances are they're much less likely to stumble upon adult content if they're using our products than if, say, they were just using a regular browser or a regular application. Because we block the Facebook pages, but we also then detect whether the page links to another website which contains adult content, and we block that also.
Paul, Jim Nico here. Thank you so much for that brilliant insight and the technology. And please thank Sheetal also. We are very interested in working with you, as you know. We believe that you are on the cutting edge of this. And also, here's a question from the point of view of, let's say I have a social network, okay? And because users are uploading content to my network, is there a way, I mean, in other words, let's say I want to be a responsible social network owner, and I don't want that content on my site because I want to allow kids to come on and feel safe and et cetera. Is there, if I were to align with you, partner with you, could you help me as a social network in action keep my network clean?
Absolutely. There's two solutions to that problem. Firstly, if your social network does have adults who do like to share adult content and you're happy with that, then it would be pretty cool to have a link or a button on their webpage that allows them to classify their own content. So if you could imagine you create a Tumblr blog or you upload a video or an image or a page to your social network, and at the top it has a link, over 18 or not safe for work. And when you click on that, you as a social network don't have to do anything. It automatically tags it in the MetaCert database and it's self-certified as over 18. Then the second option would be, and that's the content creators being more sensible. Of course, not everybody's going to do that. So the second option would, to give us a safety net, is we could dedicate a crawler just for your social network, which will constantly crawl and monitor the pages on your social network and identify adult content that should be classified, and it will automatically get classified. But what it does on top of that, when we find a website that should be classified, we then pull that into our system and we find every single website that it links to, and then we identify which of those websites should be classified. And so the growth is exponential. So there are the two things that we could do to help social networks. Of course, no solution in this space is perfect. No technology in family safety will ever be perfect. So MetaCert is no exception to the rule. It's not perfect, and it doesn't replace the need for parental guidance. But what I would say is it's the best at what it does currently.
Thank you, Paul. And you know what? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and I want to hear about more about this. This is really good news. Thank you.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show on the socialnetworkstation.com. We're talking with Paul Walsh, CEO of MetaCert.com. And Paul, I'd like to just clarify here what MetaCert, the certification aspect of that, how does that work? Who do you certify for what?
Actually, we don't certify right now. We started off in the business of certifying websites that wanted to declare their dedication to privacy and identity and security, but we decided to only focus on family safety. And so whilst we don't certify websites, we do encourage adult websites to self-label or self-certify themselves. So we don't certify anybody per se.
Okay, so when we talk about cert or certify, it is basically identify, correct? That or classify, I believe, is the word you used.
Yes, you actually, obviously, you just mentioned it in part. You picked up on the name MetaCert. And MetaCert, when it first started, the original problem we wanted to solve was much wider. And it was, in Google search results, you only get the title and description of each website. We wanted to provide the IMDb for the web, whereby, before you visit the website, how do you know that it's a trustworthy website, or more information about the website owner, or the suitability of the content, so that if you're hard of hearing or if you're blind, how do you know that that website's going to be accessible to you? And so that was the problem we wanted to solve originally. And hence the name MetaCert, because it's certification information in the form of metadata, which is based on the semantic web. But we then decided to hone in and laser focus on family safety only. So whilst it doesn't certify, you can assume that it's not community-driven information in our database, which people use to protect themselves from. It's actually all gathered by MetaCert. So I guess you could almost say it's certified by MetaCert.
Okay. Oh, this is a very interesting parallel, because the Social Network Show and station, we encountered the same thing. We have more and more focused on the issue of safety. We are still interested in service, from promoting service amongst social networks, but security, safety, and sustainability, those were the three: service and safety and sustainability. And safety is certainly the first and foremost concern that's occupying us at present. So that is easy to understand how that would occur with MetaCert as well.
Yeah, thank you. There's you know, there's one other thing that we do, which we don't promote on the website,
and
because it's not important, and secondly, it might confuse people. We have a partnership with the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, thanks to an introduction made by the Department of Justice, Francie Hicks, who was appointed by the U.S. Attorney General to head up child protection for the U.S. She's now actually on our advisory council. We have a partnership, which means every day we get a list of the websites that contain images of children being abused. And so all of our products will block access to all of these websites. So 99.9% of our business is dedicated towards helping families protect themselves from certain types of content, but a tiny part of our business is helping to combat online child exploitation.
And it would be the missing children, most likely, that are being exploited in those sites. That's a great, I don't know, it's important enough to not really call a sideline, but it's a wonderful addition to your company. Can anyone use the technology and safety controls that you provide?
Yeah, there's three elements right now. One is they block more websites than any other product, whilst blocking the fewest amount of innocent websites. Secondly, if we block an innocent website, on average, we have it changed in about 2 hours. And then the third one is we make it extremely easy for customers to install our products, because those who do install parental controls, many people actually don't bother to enable them because they're so complicated. So whilst we're focused on tablets and smartphones, we do help on the desktop. So on the iPad, we have an iPad browser called MetaCert for iOS. For the next 7 days from today, it's free to download. And MetaCert has two settings, one called strong and one called very strong or extra strong. The strong means that it's suitable for adults who wish to avoid pornography without wishing to avoid other types of adult content. And then extra strong is for children, whereby it has extra levels of security. So that's for iPad. We're going to launch in about 2 to 3 weeks an Android application. And with the Android application, it has two sides. One is it helps to control the content in the web browser. And the second is a time permission whereby you can allocate or block applications on your child's device so that you know they're doing their homework. So, for example, you can say Monday to Friday between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., block these applications and then automatically unblock them when they go beyond those times. So Android will be available in a few weeks. Then on the desktop, we have Firefox and Chrome software add-ons. Out of the two, I would say the Chrome extension is the best because Firefox hasn't been updated in recent times. We need to update that. With the Chrome extension, this demonstrates where we're actually going with our vision. Excuse me. And with the Chrome extension, it's suitable for very young children and adults because smart kids know how to get around browser extensions, and it's very easy to delete a browser extension because they don't make it possible for people like us to stop customers from doing that. So with the Chrome extension, you have two options. It's safe browsing, which is what I explained with the iPad. So it blocks and unblocks certain types of content. And then we have a new concept called Just for Kids. And if you select Just for Kids, it means that you can give that browser to a very young child, and it's a completely walled garden of safe websites handpicked by MetaCert. And then if you want to, you can very easily add additional websites to your whitelist. And it's so safe that we take into consideration all cultures. And one good example, and this demonstrates our technology on the back end, is that we actually found that some pages on Disney.co.uk refer to characters as sexy. And while most parents will be okay with that, there are certain people or some people will be unhappy with that. So we classified those very specific pages for when you're in Just for Kids mode so that it really is safe. Okay. And then lastly, we have a DNS service. And then for the slight, that's for the more slightly technical savvy parent who would like to control access on the computer or their Wi-Fi router. So you just change one IP address and it automatically blocks this big data set on every computer in the household.
Well, it sure sounds like you've got a lot of territory covered. And there's other aspects of this that I'm curious about. You know, we hear a lot about social entrepreneurship these days, and I know it figures largely in your professional self-concept. Can you explain what that is, social entrepreneurship, and the social impact of MetaCert?
Well, it's a funny term that whenever I speak on panels about this, I tend to say I don't really like the term social entrepreneurship. Or at least, I hope in the future that there isn't a need for it. There is today. And basically, I think social entrepreneurship is just doing business based on ethics. And if you do business based on ethics, then as a byproduct or automatically, you will take into consideration the impact of your actions or your business on other people and other companies. You will also make sure that sustainability is taken into consideration. Because these are all things that we should just do as people, whether we're businessmen, businesswomen or not. And so I guess in the context of MetaCert, from a social entrepreneurship point of view, we're just trying to make a difference in the world. by helping people exclude the type of content they don't want to see on the internet, and to just make the web a little bit more safer and relevant. And I guess that just makes a difference in people's lives, because I get emails every day from people saying, thank you for helping me exclude this kind of content for myself. And so you'd be amazed by the amount of adults who wish to use this technology. And so, yeah, it's just based on ethics. My wife and I have a charity that she co-founded, that's her thing, called Shanti Life, and that is helping entrepreneurs in India through small microloans, and it's the lowest interest in the industry. Now, you could say that every microfinance charity is based on social entrepreneurship, but in my opinion, they're not, because some microfinance institutions charge such high interest that it has a detrimental effect on the loan recipients. Whereas with Shanti, it's at only 12%, which is the lowest we've ever come across. And so Sheetal's charity really is a social entrepreneurship type business, because she is taking into consideration the impact that this will have on the people which she interacts with. And so you can actually have a charity which doesn't contribute much to the world or does the opposite. And so really that shouldn't be called social entrepreneurship.
Good point. And that you refer to is Shanti Life. How is that? Shanti Life.com.
Okay. And it's microfinance. And then also we help people in the poorest parts of Gujarat, India, with the installation of toilets and cleaning facilities as well. So there's two projects.
Okay, that sounds great. What on the business side of things, next I'd like to discuss what kind of markets you've decided to go after, and also tell us more about your background. And so that's what we'll discuss on our next segment.
Want to be a guest on the Social Network Show? Email us at guest@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Thank you very much for listening to the Social Network Show on the Social Network Station. And we are speaking with Paul, and he and his wife, Sheetal Walsh, are involved with MetaCert. That is their company that we've been learning all sorts of wonderful things about how it works to identify objectionable content, to signal it, and even allow the producers to self-classify. What types of markets have you decided to go after, Paul?
Two audiences. We did originally only go after or try to attract one, but then realized adults was just as big. So the two audiences are guardians, who have a responsibility for children, so that's parents and teachers. And then the second audience are adults who wish to avoid sexually explicit content, because over the last 6 months, we've learned that the market for adults in this space is absolutely huge, and the need for them to want to block this content whilst not blocking access to innocent websites is quite big. So guardians and adults themselves.
Now, you probably are well aware about the Facebook rape campaign, and that was especially in response to sites that feature violence against women and promote a rape culture, if you will. Is that something that you're also tuning into?
Well, first of all, we are looking at additional categories to pornography, but we wanted to start off with the one type of content that people identified as the least ambiguous. Because if you try to classify content under categories such as religion, for example, it's difficult to classify the entire religious type web pages. But with pornography, once we'd finished or got this far, we could say, yes, we are the best in the world at this one thing. And now that we've asserted that and we can demonstrate that, we are looking at other categories, and we've added in the past 3 months 30 additional categories. And they include self-harm, eating disorders, gambling, and violence, and so on. And so I guess the category to which you refer would fall under our category called aggression. And so we hadn't considered targeting the Facebook pages that contain that content previously, but now that you've brought it to my attention and reminded me that it's a big problem, I could probably ask some of the engineers to take a look at that specifically, because we already have crawlers dedicated to Facebook. Mm-hmm. And adding additional keywords to pick up on web pages is probably going to take us about an hour, and then we can automatically classify those pages.
That would be great.
Paul, specifically, I think you now know that Carol Todd, a mother of Amanda Todd, who committed suicide after being cyberbullied and stalked, et cetera, she's on our advisory board, and we are working very avidly with Carol Todd and Red Hood Project, which is working to stop some of this madness on these social networks. Specifically, one of the big problems that Carol had when Amanda was alive and trying to avoid being bullied, but at the same time wanted to use social networks, is she could not block the images. So her daughter kept getting these messages from various angles, from her classmates, from predators online, etc. So it sounds to me that your technology, had that been in place then, or if we can get parents through working with Carol, because she's very brilliant at trying to help kids of the future, if they can use your technology to filter this, we can eliminate some of the trauma of kids seeing these images. You are at the very cutting edge of this, and we want to help that. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct, but there is something I'd like to add to that we are going to implement in the next short while. And that is, if you would consider this, if you have a child who is being bullied or who is bullying or who has an eating disorder or who is considering committing suicide, rather than just block the pages that they're trying to access or accessing by mistake, wouldn't you like to know by a text message or an email the very minute your child looks on the internet using a keyword associated to one of those categories? So that's what we're going to implement in our products in the near future, whereby we have an alert system. So some people might call it monitoring, but it's not really. It's just being alerted to a very specific set of keywords so that you'll know straight away if your child is looking for information on the web that will help them commit suicide or eating disorders and so on. So I think that's equally important to blocking, because it gives you, as a parent, the opportunity to talk to your children before it becomes an even bigger problem.
That goes along well with much of the advice that is promoted, that the technological fixes are are not good enough alone, all by themselves. It isn't something we can just flip a switch and then, oh, it's all taken care of. But it really has to be a combination effort. But this is something that can help parents and teachers to be alerted, as you mentioned, to where they know that it is urgent to have those discussions and develop, you know, it's just a warning. Well, you know, you're trying to develop this relationship, but maybe it's not quite there yet. So that would be a good combination approach.
Exactly. I wouldn't even call technology a fix. I wouldn't call any of our products or anybody else's products a fix either. I would just call them little helpers. They help make your job as a teacher or as a parent that much easier so that you can build that relationship with your children and help provide a better protection. It's like when they're young and they're crossing the road, you don't just teach them the rules of the road and then let them cross the road by themselves. You still have to guide them and keep an eye on them until they're old enough to better understand. And so the same with the web and applications, whether it's an application like Snapchat or Instagram. As parents and teachers, we have a responsibility to educate ourselves, not necessarily how to use these technologies, but to at least understand and appreciate that there are benefits and also shortfalls in these technologies, and that these technologies just make it easier for kids to do the things that you wouldn't want them to do in the real world. And therefore, just to have that conversation and to use MetaCert products and other companies' products to make that job a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. And it really is a new territory, you might say, having opened up in the last 10 years especially, that to establish the standards that we take for granted in the physical face-to-face world, and not let the new territory be overwhelmed by those that do not have a social conscience. And I would like to have you repeat something for us in regard to the number of sites and pages in comparison to what other...
Sure.
Yeah, could you do that, please?
So we have classified over 7 million unique websites. They're classified as pornography. And then on top of that, we have millions of web pages throughout websites like Facebook, Twitter, Dailymotion, YouTube, whereby we classify the page or the image or videos separate to the website that contain pornography. So generally speaking, we have approximately 700 to 800 million pages, and that comes to about 35 billion URLs. So on average, an adult website contains about 100 pages or about 1,000 URLs. And that's quite important because all of those URLs are exposed in Google search results. And so it's important to be able to identify the URL. Now, so if we have about 7 million unique domains, OpenDNS is an example of a filtering technology that parents and schools use to filter over 50 categories. And OpenDNS is a crowdsourced database, which is good, but it's not necessarily going to be accurate. And over the 50 categories, they have 1.6 million domains. So that means their list of sexually explicit content must be tiny when compared to MetaCert. And then our database, compared to other companies, we have more pornographic content labeled than Norton, McAfee, and Kaspersky combined. So when it comes to blocking sexually explicit content, we are by far the best in the world. If, you want to block subjects like religion or other types of categories that as a parent you may be concerned about, then you may wish to use a different product in conjunction with ours. We are adding content to those categories. And some of those categories are actually quite expensive, such as gambling and self-harming and suicide. But we don't want to necessarily tell people that we've got access to that content until we're very, very confident that we've master those subjects.
Well, thank you so much. And we've been talking with Paul Walsh, CEO of MetaCert, MetaCert.com. And I assume that's where people can go to learn more about you, right, Paul?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, and give our best wishes to Sheetal. And we are going to be talking with other people involved in social networks, but maybe you do not operate a social network site. But if you belong to any social networks, please by all means ask them to look into MetaCert. And while you're at it, let them know about the Social Network Association.com, the platform for them to collaborate with their industry peers in setting standards. And while you are on the social network station, please listen to the Social Network Marketing Hour with Susan Ganelius and be introduced to the Las Vegas Social Media Show. Thank you for listening. Please be sure to mention to your social network that you enjoy the socialnetworkshow.com and mention it to us as well by subscribing to our new email newsletter. Have you seen that, Jim? I am so impressed. I'll tell you, the things are happening so fast around here, I can barely keep up myself. Click on preview in the subscribe box and see what I mean. You take care now till we talk again next week on another broadcast of the Social Network Show.
You've been listening to the Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.